What's up? I'm Amanda Costco, and you're listening to the Electropreneur Podcast, a podcast exploring the intersection of fashion and technology. On today's show, he's computers and she's couture. She's from the fashion world and he's from the maker movement. Eric Boyd and Wendy Ng have been collaborating on concept pieces that blend technology and fashion. You may have seen their work at Fashion Art Week Toronto, Circuit, a wearable technology circus, or even Electric Runway's launch party in July. Their next collaboration will be for Make Fashion, a high-tech, high-fashion runway show taking place April 2nd in Calgary, Alberta. Eric and Wendy, welcome to the show. Can you start by briefly introducing yourselves and what it is that you do?
Sure, I'm Eric. I'm a technologist, I guess. I've worked in wearables a lot, and I do circuit design, electronics, programming, all that kind of good stuff. I'm president of Hack Lab here in Toronto, which is a local makerspace, hackerspace. Also, director of festival content at Toronto Maker Festival.
Wendy, tell us about yourself.
My name is Wendy, and I guess I do many, many things, and then it just boils down to really two major things in my life. One is fashion. I created this company called Distropolis, and I designed and owned it. I started since like 2009 and been doing it part-time, and my other life is I'm actually a practicing engineer in rapid transit. So that's pretty much what I do so far.
I didn't know that about you, that you were an engineer full-time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm learning lots.
Okay.
And so how did you two meet?
We met at the Toronto Wearables Meetup. There was a talk put on by OCAD. I think it was the Stilt Lady.
But anyway, Stilt Lady?
Yeah, it's a lady who does like costumes for stilt walkers.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is totally fun.
It was at a wearables meetup.
Yeah.
And so you met there, mm-hmm. and you decided to start working together.
She was looking for someone to basically help with FAT, like do some electronics work.
For Fashion Art Week Toronto.
Yeah, so like I got her business card, and then we exchanged some emails, and then we met up and decided that we would do like a relatively simple thing that became the Aurelia Arita jellyfish skirt.
One of my favorite skirts, which we'll put a photo up on the website so people can see it. So I want to talk about Distropolis for a second before we get into how we've added technology. So Wendy, you've been making clothes under the brand Distropolis for several years now. Prior to meeting Eric, how would you describe the brand's aesthetic? I think I read on the website, future sophistication.
Yeah, so Distropolis, it's for someone who value beauty, truth, self-expressions. The aesthetic of it is more kind of like a monochromatic and edgy and also futuristic. So that goes back to the future sophistication that I kind of make this work with. And now I'm actually expanding the definition to include wearable technology, which just kind of happened like last year, and I'm really excited about that.
You met Eric and you exchanged business cards. At what point did you decide that you wanted to incorporate technology into your garments?
Well, actually, when I was applying for FAT, I had this idea to incorporate tech in one of the outfits, if it's not all. And I just didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know what I wanted to do it. And so we were just start talking, throwing some ideas together. So my last collection was inspired by the Lost City Atlantics. And one of the fascinating thing about my inspiration is I want to include some deep sea creatures, including the jellyfish. And bioluminescence of it, it's something that just wouldn't go away in my head. So we were talking, I was talking with Eric, and he also has an inspiration for it. Well, not for this particular idea, but he has an inspiration. And I thought maybe we can combine these two together and create something.
Let's talk about that dress specifically, because it's such a beautiful piece, and I've seen it on the runway before. So the outside is it neoprene?
Yep.
And then the way that you've lit it up is you've actually cut some triangles into the outside of it so that the light shines through, but then it's also projected downwards. Do I have that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it actually lit up, Eric?
There are two concentric rings of controllable LEDs inside, a total of about 150 lights. And then there's a circuit and batteries that drive that. And so it's capable basically of displaying any color at quite a bright level. Like, you can't see it under runway lights, but you can see it under normal lights. And when it's dim, it's really bright.
And so does that make the dress much heavier because it has all that batteries and the lights and things
like
that?
Honestly, the neoprene is quite heavy and thick, so I feel like the technology didn't add a lot of weight. Also, I can speak about my motivations. Like Wendy said, I had this idea before I met her, which I'd actually proposed for a couple of different projects. There was like a wearables thing in London. But anyway, my idea was inspired by video games, where in role-playing games, sometimes you have characters, and around the character, there's this ring of light, indicating that that character is the active character and you're going to decide what to do with them. So that was my idea. Like, I wanted to create that ring of light only in real life with a garment that somebody would wear to indicate, like, this is the active player, right?
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't realize that you had...
And it's interesting how well that idea combined with the jellyfish idea. They're both still in the garment.
Yes. And then also what surprised us really like the most was actually at, well, we worked with Circuit to have a performer, a dancer, to be dancing in this outfit. And what we didn't really, really expect was how well it worked together with the dancing part.
With the performance aspect.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that dance was spectacular.
It's totally, I mean, on the runway, it's very static, kind of, you know, walking out, coming back in. But during the performance, what we noticed is the color. We had, like, we programmed the different colors to circle around the dress, the skirt itself. And what we didn't realize was as she moved, the color kind of mixes together on the ground, and it just creates a different, whole different type of effect. And also the way she moved and the imbalance of the dress just really... accentuate I guess the carefree and the flowiness of
the
jellyfish itself.
Yeah.
So it was just really, I don't know, surprising.
Yeah, it was a very different experience. You almost thought it was a different dress seeing it on the runway at Fashion Art Week Toronto and then seeing it at Circuit. So Eric, prior to this piece, had you worked on any garments before?
Yes. I mean, never anything as nice as that. I don't really have much in terms of, like, you know, fabric and garment skills, but I had made myself a Tron jacket, if you know what that means.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically I took this, like, pleather jacket that I have, and I mounted LEDs to it in the same pattern as in the recent Tron movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wore that to a couple of parties. It was a lot of fun.
And is that how the vest came about? Because I know that you have a vest as well, right?
Well, yes and no. Actually, for the vest itself, I was actually fascinated by one of his creations called North Paw. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I can talk about
bit.
North Paw. North Paw is a compass anklet. You basically strap it around your ankle, and then it vibrates to tell you what way is north. So the idea of it is inspired by a German group that did similar things with belts. The idea is, by vibrating continuously in a way that tells you what way is north, it kind of gives you this sixth sense of direction.
Interesting.
And over time, if you wear it long enough, what happens is you stop feeling it vibrating, and your brain just kind of knows what way is north. You actually have a literal sense of direction.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And I just wanted to have that experience myself, so I made North Paw for myself. But then hordes of people were like, I want to wear it. And so I started selling them.
So another project that you work on that we can talk about, we've talked about the jellyfish. Just
wait, we should go back to the Spike Fest. That was a whole aside.
the Spike Fest. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And then I wanted to create something to do with directions. How they wear, like, something like a garment that can display or show the wearer's orientation. And then so we combine his technology in the North Paw onto the shoulder spike lights. And so it shows, like, different directions.
Yeah, when you face different
sequence,
directions,
yeah.
It has different light sequences. Subtle enough that lots of people don't notice, but...
I didn't know that about it, and I've seen
the
vest before.
Colors are always the same, but, like, when you face north, maybe it just flashes the ones at the end, and when you flash south, it does, like, a pattern, and when you face east, it does a different pattern, and so on. You've also reminded me, though, I did one other wearables project a long time ago. This was probably my first one, called North Skirt. I collaborated with a lady in San Francisco on a skirt that combines with the North Paw circuit to show other people which way is north. If you look it up, the video is actually really good.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll put it up on the website. And how does it show other people which way?
So it has basically eight rows of LEDs down the length of the circle skirt. And when you rotate, basically the row on the north side is lit. So if you're standing on the north side of the person, you always see them illuminated, even when she spins. People on the south side never see any light at all.
Oh, that's interesting. So not necessarily conducive for a runway show where you have people sitting at all angles,
no,
but...
It would not work on the runway, but it is a really cool effect to see because it changes as she spins, right?
If you're trying to navigate a new place,
yeah.
Perhaps. Wendy, in working with Eric, what's something you've learned about technology that you didn't know before?
All of it.
Did you have much of a technological background before?
I haven't been really put my head in, my hands into anything electronics and stuff like that. I'm actually always fascinated by a lot of things that happen in science fiction, especially movies and all that kind of technology. And I always feel like it's kind of, to me, it's kind of two-dimensional, but not until I met Eric. He showed me a lot of new and exciting information about technology that I'm like, wow, now it's become more three-dimensional to me because it adds another, you know, level that I can actually make something, things are accessible for us to create. And so, I don't know, I just learned pretty much everything.
Does it change the way you design or perhaps the way you conceive of the possibilities of fashion?
Definitely. The way I see fashion is like clothing, it has been providing protection, status, and aesthetics to us for a long time, but I always feel like it has something more than just that. And not until I realized the possibility of wearable technology that now I can feel like maybe I can do something to, let's put it that way, like, to enhance the humanity ideas.
Like you were saying before, it's more of a three-dimensional experience. I think that was a good way of putting it. And Eric, what have you learned about fashion in working with Wendy?
Well, similar to her answer, everything. I mean, there's a lot of things I could say. I mean, some of it is just the kind of, I guess what I would call the technical side of fashion. So like I've taken a look at like the patterns that she drafts in order to make the garments, which is really interesting. And I want to get into that more myself. I have a project to like design some clothing for myself, which would be totally awesome. But then also there's the whole like kind of world of fashion, which I am like still frankly a total outsider on, but at least Wendy like brings me along and I tag along to these fashion events, and that's been just like utterly fascinating
to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, and not just the behind the scenes, even just to sit in the audience for a fashion show is really interesting. The world of fashion actually is organized really differently than the world of technology. So like in technology, You get all these things like the iPhone or whatever, and you never know who's behind it. You only ever know the company. But fashion doesn't operate like that at all. Like fashion is really like designer driven and brand driven, and you know like the people who are involved, right? And in fact, you know, they have exhibitions and all kinds of things, you know, personal shows you can go see. And so like just I'm still like exploring in the early stages of realizing like, wait, oh, when you see one garment that you like, there's actually a way to find more like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in technology, it's not like that. The best you can do is look at the other products from that company.
So it's a different community than fashion, I would say, too. And then it's also a different organizational structure. I want to talk about Fashion Art Week Toronto for a moment, because it's coming up, and you're someone who has grown with it over the years. How have you seen it change? And maybe you can just speak to like the fashion industry in general in Toronto.
Fat has been a big part of my life for the last 6 years. I skipped one, but 6 years. So I actually, I've been to the very first event.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 10 years ago. And it has changed so much since then. Back then, they had it at a smaller, I guess it's like a small club kind of space. And now they have become, you know, like a Toronto staple. And they even were voted best fashion event in Toronto by Now Magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So they have come a very, very long way to that. But what I also noticed is something that never changed was it was all organized by a group of very passionate people, and they all love fashion and so much. And they also value the uniqueness of fashion. And so that's how they set themselves apart from the main Toronto fashion scene kind of old fashion event.
Yeah, and they're also not afraid to experiment.
No. Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I don't know if I've seen any technology or fashion tech on the runway at World Mastercard Fashion Week, but it seems to me that it's something that has been in the DNA of FAT from the beginning.
Exactly, and that's how I felt so much at home, and they become part of, you know, they become my fashion family.
And Eric, to return to the idea of the Maker Festival and the Maker scene, you're someone who's grown with the Maker movement here in Toronto and beyond. How have you seen that grow and change over the years?
I mean, it's changed a lot as well. I think that the core of the movement, you know, people just doing interesting things with technology on their own time, that piece has remained relatively consistent, but the world around it, in terms of the Maker Fairs and the Hacker Spaces and all kinds of other events, and then also the technologies that you can actually work with, all of that has just come, like, so far. So,
it's exploded.
Yeah, it's exploded. So, like, you know, Maker Spaces, the very first one in North America was in 2008. That was the first one. Now there's probably 500 of them in North America, including, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 here in Toronto, depending how you count. And Maker Faires has done similar, right? I mean, the first one was 2006 in the Bay Area, and now the Maker Media itself runs 4 or 5, and there's probably 50 independent ones in North America, including Maker Festival here in Toronto.
So what's behind
and,
that? What's...
And so, I mean, part of that is just the makers really want to have a place to exhibit their works and show it off and find others like themselves. And part of it is the public is really curious to see this kind of stuff. So I feel like also the public perception of, you know, people staying at home and hacking in their garages has really come a long way, right? I mean, I think it used to be viewed as a kind of a weird thing, but I think now it's very much in the popular mind. It's being associated at the highest levels with, you know, innovation and technology and things that have a very positive view of. So, you know, perception of people like me has come a long way. I'm feeling more like a rock star every day.
Good, you are a rock star. That's great. So as I understand it, you're going to be both involved in Make Fashion this year in April. It's very exciting. So for folks who don't know what Make Fashion is, it's a show that happens in Calgary. It's going to be at the beginning of April, if I have that correct.
April 2.
All right, what else can we tell people about Make Fashion?
I mean, it is probably the most interesting wearable show that I know of in terms of the number and quality of, you know, technology-enabled garments. They have, I think they're 3 years now, right? They've had 3 years and this will be the fourth?
I think
that's true, yeah. And every year there are just pieces that are, like, absolutely stunning. One of my favorites is the vintage fashion from a couple of years ago. I just loved those outfits and even the, like, accessories of those outfits, like the pet robot dog. It just blew my mind.
We'll put some photos up on the website again. I mean, people have to see this pet
robot dog now. They have to see it, yeah. And,
it's pretty cute.
And so, like, I'm excited to be a part of it. And it's also really cool, like, Make Fashion as an organization is growing as well. They're doing shows in Shenzhen and other places, and they're lending out garments. And, you know, in terms of their business model and the way they operate, I think it's just phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to the exposure that our piece might get as a result of that.
And I also love the idea that they're really promoting the fashion and technology together. I haven't seen anywhere that really...
Where that's the main focus.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's also like couture,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like it's high tech and high fashion
together. At the same time, yes.
Yeah.
That's what's making it so awesome.
And,
like,
and
totally
they also provide technical help to designers, accessibility to, I guess, parts and technology and such, provide a lot of assistance to. And they also have a studio space.
They have a new, it's called Archaloft. I'm not sure how you spell it. Archeloft. Archaloft.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a kind of a fabric hacker space in Calgary that they've opened. It's similar to the thing that Ben and Anna are doing here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to check that out when we're
there.
Yeah,
so that's one of the things I'm going to see in Calgary when we're there for sure, is to check that space out and talk to the people who are there. Yeah, it should be really cool.
So you're going
to
be involved in Make Fashion this year with a specific piece.
Two pieces.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell me about them.
So our title, it's called Soft Power. We're trying to explore the idea of how one's appearance could help their negotiating power in some way, like when they're in a situation that they, well, I wouldn't say stuck, but kind of difficult and sticky, and how one's appearance can, in some way, passively change the position.
Hmm.
So our pieces would have motorized components that can make them look a little bit different.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's basically like you're at a high-stakes negotiating table, and there's inside the garment, there's a galvanic skin response sensor that's measuring your stress response. And when that goes above a certain threshold, the idea is that the garment will deploy something that will make you more fearsome, more aggressive, or whatever, to try
change
the situation.
And that seems to draw very much from the natural world, with insects and animals and things
That's exactly where they come
from. Yeah, we're inspired by like the frilled neck lizard or other species that have this
I was so excited to see it. I guess it's a podcast, so people can't see me gushing, but I'm so excited. Now
actually,
I have to go.
Actually, there's a term, a scientific term, or somehow for this. How do you say it?
Aposematism or something like that. I can't pronounce it either. It's been something long.
Meaning the reaction to making yourself look bigger.
Meaning the same thing, like the thing that a pufferfish does, the thing that a frilled neck lizard does, the thing
and
that
the colors change and.
Yeah.
To make them look a little bit threatening or like in situations.
Or even cats, when all their fur stands on end, that's the same response.
And so now you're taking this and putting it on a garment, and that's really exciting. And so that's, are they both using that same idea?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically there's a male and a female, and they will have slightly different mechanisms, but the intended effect is the same.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. And so, Wendy and Eric, how can people stay in touch with you?
So, for Distropolis, people can reach me at www.distropolis.com or on Facebook. Just search for Distropolis. Same with Twitter and Instagram. And so that's
and,
it.
And I'm much harder to reach. I do have a website for Sensebridge, which is the little wearables company that sells the North Paws. It's at sensebridge.net and sensebridge.com. I'm not really on social media, so you just have to like follow Wendy and hope she talks about me.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That was my conversation with fashion designer Wendy Ng and technologist Eric Boyd. For images and video of all the garments mentioned, we invite you to visit electricrunway.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time, here's looking towards the future.